This is Answers in Genesis in the United Kingdom.
Hello and welcome to Answers UK Radio episode 14. My name is Paul Taylor. I'm the senior speaker with Answers in Genesis in the United Kingdom. You've been listening to a lovely piece of music, the beginning of the overture to The Creation, an oratorio by Haydn. It's a superb piece of music and well worth listening to. And if I was a BBC Radio 3 presenter, I guess I'd probably now be telling you that that particular edition was conducted by Helmut Rilling with the Bach Concert Orchestra. On the other hand, if I was a classic FM presenter, I'd just be saying, that's a piece by Haydn, that is. But it's a lovely piece of music, well worth listening to. Well, we've got a packed programme today. We'll be looking at the Eder fossil and finding out something about the new news surrounding the Eder fossil. And we'll be talking about the Origins of Species project with Ray Comfort, who will also be giving us tips on how to discipline your pet dog.
My puppy has decided to growl. Hang on a minute. Look, get under my authority. Sit. 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 Don't make any noise. I'm recording. Okay, you might have to edit that, maybe not.
Well, there'll be more dog training tips from Ray Comfort later in the programme, but meanwhile we're going to be talking about the Eder fossil and finding out a little bit about what's been in the news about that.
This is Eder, rather squashed after 47 million years underground.
Well, that was the BBC's science correspondent Christine McGurty in on the 19th of May 2009. Perhaps we'll just let pass the idea that she introduces the fossil as being 47 million years old, because, well, she offers no evidence for that particular fact. But I want more to concentrate, really, on the fuss that was made in May 2009 about the Eder fossil. And particularly, it would be interesting to hear what David Attenborough had to say about it, because he said it was absolutely proven that this was the missing link between primates and other types of mammals. Let's listen to what Attenborough's got to say.
It's a discovery of great significance. We desperately want to know where we came from. And this is, this little creature is going to show us our connection with the rest of all the mammals. But this is as near as we're likely ever to get. You not only have the bones, but you have the fur, you have the flesh. And it's not a question of deduction, not a question of imagination, not a question of suggestions. It's fact. There it is. There is the stomach, and there are the contents of the stomach, and that was Eder's last meal. And now people can say, OK, you say we're primates, like monkeys and apes, and that we came from very simple, generalised mammals. Show us the link. The link, they would have said, until now, is missing. Well, it is no longer missing.
So David Attenborough is absolutely certain what this fossil is. He says it's fact.
It's fact.
There it is.
He says that it's a fact that it's a missing link between primates and other mammals.
The link, they would have said, until now, is missing. Well, it is no longer missing.
Well, that was the hype back in May of 2009, but now it seems they've decided something different. In October 2009, just recently, we've got this item from the BBC's news website, headline, Primate Fossil Not an Ancestor, and the article goes on to say, the exceptionally well-preserved fossil primate, known as Eda, is not a missing link, as some have claimed, according to an analysis in the journal Nature. There's a Dr. Eric Seifert who says that Eda belonged to a group more closely linked to lemurs than to monkeys, apes or us. He goes on to say that the suggestion that Eda was specifically related to the higher primates, namely monkeys, apes and humans, was actually a minority view from the start. So it came as a surprise to many of us who are studying primate paleontology, said Dr. Seifert from Stony Brook University in New York, US. Hold on a minute, what did David Attenborough have to say about that?
It's fact. There it is.
So, Mr. Attenborough, the experts don't seem to agree with even the evolutionary experts. In fact, Dr. Seifert says this study would effectively remove Eda from our ancestry. So the fact that David Attenborough was proclaiming in May turns out not to be a fact at all. His statements is just yet another one of the sort of dopey evolutionary statements we get. A little bit like my favourite statement from the BBC's series Walking with Beasts, when the narrator Kenneth Branagh said,
"This is a world where birds eat horses."
So next time you hear David Attenborough saying something like,
"It's fact, there it is,"
it will be worth remembering that it's not fact at all. The Book of Proverbs says, "A righteous man regards the life of his animal, but the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel." Which raises the question, what's going on here?
Hang on, my dog is demon-possessed. Just one moment.
Well, you need to take authority.
Stop that!
Well, that's the evangelist Ray Comfort, and coming up after the break, we'll be talking to Ray about the Origin of Species project, where copies of the Origin of Species are actually being given out by Christians at a number of universities throughout America. But before you hear that interview, I just want to reassure you that no animals were actually harmed during the recording of this interview. Let me just take this advertisement break to tell you a little bit about how you can share with us in getting the gospel into Albania. A book written by Ian McNaughton and myself, called Darwin and Darwinism, 150 Years Later, is a Christian and creationist biography of Charles Darwin, examining his ideas from Scripture and presenting the gospel message. Well, this book has been translated into Albanian, and we'd like to print several thousand copies of this and distribute them throughout Albania within the next month or two, particularly as there's a major book fair coming up with all sorts of books to do with evolution and Darwin in Tirana, the capital of Albania. Well, we're just about £1,000 short of the total we need, so if you could possibly share with us in this, and please mark your donation, European Fund. Any excess that we get above the £1,000 required will be used in the general fund. Contact us on 0116 270 8400. Thank you so much. The Answers magazine is the world's leading magazine on creation, evolution and genesis, full of easy-to-read articles on the subject, semi-technical articles towards the back, a pull-out chart at the very back of the magazine, a children's section in the centre, and all around one particular theme so that you can take in its information easily. Get your copy, £14 for a year's subscription of four issues. Contact us at 0116 270 8400 or get on the website. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Answers UK Radio, and I'm Paul Taylor. Well, we promised you an interview with Ray Comfort. I've wanted to interview Ray for a long while. Ray has, as well as being a well-known evangelist and writer on evangelism, training people in evangelism, he's also written on the subject of creation and intelligent design. And We've used his materials, his tracts and so on, in a lot of the things that that we've done. We recommend his materials, and I thought it would be really great to be able to talk to him. But it's incredible how many technical difficulties we've had with interviewing him. When I first tried interviewing him, well, the recording equipment did something very, very strange indeed. Just listen to this little excerpt from the first interview that I tried to do with Ray.
So that's the pattern that's given to us, and we need to stick with that if we want to see genuine conversions.
So with technical difficulties such as my voice turning into one of the Walt Disney chipmunks, and Ray being savaged during his interview by his man-eating Bichon puppy, we managed in the end to be able to record the interview, and here it is now.
Well, on the line I've got Ray Comfort from Living Waters Ministries in California. Thank you for joining us, Ray.
It's a pleasure, Paul.
And I've got in my hands here a £1 million note holding up to the camera, which you can't see because the camera's not working. But it's a £1 million note. Now, you're indirectly responsible for this, aren't you?
Yeah, about 8 or 9 years ago, I produced a $1 million bill. I thought it would be wonderful to be able to give someone a $1 million bill with the gospel on the back. And so I produced one, and over time, we made them look more real with our talented graphic artists, to a point where the Secret Service over here actually seized 8,000 of them and said they looked too much like real money. And I was able to say to them, you know, 164-word gospel presentation on the back is a good clue that it's not government-issued. But it made some good publicity, and that day we sold 500,000. And over time, the $1 million bill has evolved to the billion, and now we've got the trillion bill with President Obama's picture on the front. Not easy to give out. People just love it. And so there's been the spin-off in New Zealand and Australia and Britain, all over the place, of $1 million bills, million-pound notes. And they're so easy to give out. You know, you work at your own little one-liner. Here's £1 million for you. It's great when you get the change, or, you know, spend it wisely, or now you can quit your job. And people are so grateful. They say, oh, thanks $1 million. This is great. And you can say, hey, make sure you read the message on the back. It's real important. Or you can get to witness to them straight from it. So it's a wonderful witnessing tool. And I think we've sold something like 22 million $1 million bills over those years.
It's great. And I do commend people to get hold of them. I've got the $1 million bill as well as the £1 million bill, and the message on the back is the same in both cases. It's the same message, the gospel message there, and it's great. It's great to just give those away, and you've got lots of other fun tracts and things. I've got this little coin with the Ten Commandments on, which personally I find very good if I'm talking to people for an extended period of time. It's a good one for going through things and talking to people, isn't it?
Well, you know what I do? I ride a bike to work each day. I ride a mile there and a mile back. That's how I keep my physique as great as it is. And if I ever see anyone on the sidewalk or the footpath, I flick it to them as I ride past and say, here's a gift for you. And when it hits the ground, you know, it goes clunk, like this has got perceived value. And people almost always pick it up and yell, hey, thanks. And I say, make sure you read it. And so it's bicycle evangelism.
Oh, that's great.
Careful I don't hit someone in the head when I do it.
Well, that would be a great witness when you put someone's eye out with it, then. You could visit them in hospital and give them the gospel then.
And share that if your eye offends you, pluck it out. Yeah.
That's great. But one of the interesting things about what you're doing when you're witnessing, because your ministry, yourself and your ministry, are dedicated to encouraging us to get out onto the streets and talk to people about the gospel. And you're using a little bit of the Old Testament, aren't you, as well, in what you're doing? I mean, particularly using the commandments here. Why are you doing that?
Well, before I did that, I used to just say to people, you know, give your life to Jesus because there's something missing in your life. God's got a wonderful plan for your life. And I didn't understand it, but I was actually producing false converts with such an erroneous gospel presentation. It's such an error to present the cure without first diagnosing the disease. And the diagnosis for the disease is given us in the Ten Commandments. The Bible says the law of the Lord is perfect, converting soul. And if you look at how Jesus witnessed, a young man ran to Jesus, knelt down and said, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? What did Jesus say to this prospective convert who ran to him, was obviously earnest, knelt down, obviously humble, and asked how he could find everlasting life? Did he give him the cross or the love of God? No, he gave him the Ten Commandments. But before he did, he said, why do you call me good? There's none good but God. He reproved the man for his understanding of the word good. And the reason he did this is because unregenerate humanity has no understanding of God's righteousness, his holiness, or the goodness of God. And when the Bible speaks of God's goodness, it means moral perfection in thought, word, and deed. Proverbs 20 verse 6 says, most every man will proclaim his own goodness. And they do. You ask anyone who's not a Christian, do you think you're a good person? They'll almost always say, I'm a really good person. We see the same thing with Paul in Romans 2. Paul says, you say you shall not steal, do you steal? You say you shall not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? What's he doing? He's applying the commandments to the conscience. He's bringing the knowledge of sin, because Paul said in the book of Romans, I had not known sin but by the law. He said, by the law is the knowledge of sin, so it's essential that we follow in the steps of Jesus and do exactly what Jesus did. When someone is proud and self-righteous, we give them the commandments. If someone comes to you in the spirit of Nicodemus, who's humble and a godly Jew, obviously knew the law, you give them grace. But most people, probably 99% of secular people we meet, are self-righteous. They have no understanding of truth, no understanding of doctrine, biblical doctrine. And so it's very important to bring the knowledge of sin as Jesus did, as Paul did, by using the law and stirring the conscience.
Right. Well, it's an approach that we endorse here at Answers in Genesis in the UK. We don't tend to produce our own tracts because we recommend that people use yours, and we know that people can get hold of those tracts from yourselves, or they can get hold of them for in this country too. And after this interview, I'll give people some contact details so that you can get hold of the stuff from in the UK. But of course, the fourth commandment is the commandment that's got a reason with it, and it says the reason why we're to keep one day and seven holy is because God says, in 6 days I made the world and rested on the seventh. So there's very much a link here to the book of Genesis, isn't there, and creation. And I've seen you in your training videos, and not so much preaching the gospel using the theory of evolution and Genesis, but certainly using it to draw a crowd and get people wound up and so on that subject. That's right, isn't it? You sort of get people stirred up.
Oh, absolutely. You can speak to the natural mind, you can speak to the intellect, and that's how to get someone interested. And I do it a lot when I'm open-air preaching. So anyone here believe that the great-great-grandpappy was a primate? So in an open-air situation, you can get a crowd by speaking to the intellect, because no one feels intimidated, no one feels guilty because you're talking about sin, but it's very important to realize that intellectual arguments are like bait when God's law is the hook. So you attract the fish by letting them see the bait, sniff the bait, come around the bait, and then once they're interested, you pull the hook into the jaw by doing what Paul did in Romans 2 and saying, you who say you shall not steal, do you steal? And take them through those commandments. So apologetics are an essential part of evangelism, but it's essential to always move away from apologetics to the conscience using the law as Jesus did.
Absolutely. Now, I've come across some evangelists in the UK, and I assume you probably have similar ones in the USA as well, who will tell me, well, it doesn't matter what you believe on the subject of creation and Genesis. It's not important. We just need to preach Jesus Christ. And yet, you and your ministry do take a position on the subject of Genesis, don't you?
Oh, Genesis is the absolute truth. Jesus pointed to Genesis. He said, in the beginning, God made male and female. So when I meet someone who says, oh, I think evolution is used by God, I say, well, what Bible do you read? Don't you believe Jesus? Are you a Christian? In the beginning, God made man, male and female. He made them in his image, not as primates. And he gave them the ability to reproduce after their own kind, not other kinds. So it's impossible to reconcile Holy Scripture with a fairy tale of evolution. And any person who says they're a Christian really needs to look closely at their own salvation if they do that, because they're obviously not believing what Jesus said.
Yes, and you're talking about the use of the law, the Ten Commandments, in convincing people that they're sinners. And of course, sin came into the world because of Adam breaking the one commandment that he was given. You know, we've got ten; he only had one commandment: don't eat that fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And he didn't keep that one commandment, and that's how sin came into the world, because sin is breaking the commandments, isn't it?
Absolutely. 1 John 3:4 says, sin is transgression of the law. sadly, over the last 100 years, there's been a lack of understanding of this essential truth. You ask people what sin is, and they'll tell you, oh, it's not believing in Jesus. So I say to them, so if you've got a group of people in the heart of Africa, a primitive tribe, and they don't believe in Jesus, they've never heard of him, so they haven't sinned. If they've never heard of Jesus, they haven't not believed in him. So you go there as a missionary and you preach the gospel to them, then they don't believe in Jesus, so now they're going to hell and you caused it. So that line of reasoning makes no sense. Sin is transgression of the law. So if someone's in the heart of Africa or the heart of New York or the heart of London, they have the work of the law written on their heart via the conscience. They know you shall not steal, you shall not commit adultery. And that's why people will be condemned to hell, not for not believing in Jesus, not for not believing something, which makes no sense. They'll go to hell for lying and thieving and murder and rape and adultery and ingratitude to God for giving them life, for blasphemy. And so it makes sense when you use the law to bring the knowledge of sin and reason with people. It makes hell reasonable. And that's why Paul found that Felix trembled when he reasoned with him of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. The law makes hell reasonable and makes a sinner tremble and see his need of the Savior.
Now, you know, we've established the importance of the belief in Genesis and so on, and yet I've got in my hands here a book called The Origin of Species, a very famous book by Charles Darwin, and here's an edition of it, 150th anniversary edition, very attractive, nice full-colour cover to it, with an introduction by a Mr. Ray Comfort. What's going on here, Ray?
Well, I was a naughty boy. I found out that it was public domain about 6 months ago, 150 years old. That means anyone can publish it. And I thought, I'll publish it with a 50-page introduction and bring out the fact that Darwin was a racist. I'll give a timeline of his life and the history of evolution and bring out that fact that he was a racist. He believed that black people are closer to gorillas than white people. And bring out the fact that he disdained women and said that that evolution had left men more intelligent than women, and bring out the fact that Hitler had undeniable connections to evolution and present intelligent design in the gospel. So I published the book. We had 30,000 printed, and we put a little video on the internet, and man, did it stir up a hornet's nest. There's one anti-video called Origin of Stupidity that's had just on 1 million views. And they keep showing pictures of my book and giving me free publicity. And Amazon.com just got hold of my publishers and said, why is there a spike of interest in this book? And what they did about a year ago, I wrote a book called You Can Lead an Atheist to Evidence, but You Can't Make Him Think, and put it on Amazon. And atheists like hornets swooped on that book, and they gave it so many stinging reviews, just horrible one-star reviews, telling people not to get it. It's quite humorous when you read it. We have a couple of Christians saying, this is the best book since sliced bread, and the next 200 reviews say, this is worse than the worst mold on sliced bread. And they've done the same thing with this book on Amazon, and what they've actually done is they've created interest in it with their videos and their talk of burning the book, and Richard Dawkins telling students to rip out the introduction. It's giving us free publicity all over the world and creating interest, and so we're giving out 170,000 copies of these books. It's probably going to be 190,000 copies to 100 of the top universities in the United States in one day. We've got between 1,200 and 2,000 workers working with us to do this. And so we're very excited to do that, and we're doing it in one university, thanks to you, in England, and people could contact you to find out how they can be involved in that. But we're very, very excited. This is going to get the gospel into the hands of 194,000 future doctors, lawyers, and politicians. And we pray that God will use it. And we've got videos people already sending us of students just clamoring for the book. And when they stand in a little box and call out, hey, got free copies of Origin of Species, we're giving it away as a celebration of the 150th anniversary of the publication of the book. And they just flock to it. 304-page book, as you said, full-color cover. It's got perceived value, so it's something not going to throw away and even pass on to friends. So we ask Christians to pray for God's blessing on this and save many people through it.
Well, it's a wonderful book, and we're very excited to be working with you on this. And as you said, we'll be giving it out at a university in the United Kingdom. And if there are people listening to this podcast who are known to us, you know, get in touch with us if you'd be interested in helping out with that. so that we can contact you and give you some details, give you some information. But it's a fascinating thing, isn't it? The idea of getting this book into the hands of students, they'll want to have a copy of this book. In fact, it's interesting because many people have not read the book, actually. Many people have not read The Origin of Species and don't really know what the issue is. And it's very exciting, I think, for us as Christians to be giving them something that's got... they're able to compare things to themselves, they're able to compare the secular worldview with the Christian worldview, and they've got here a thorough gospel message in the beginning. So, you know, I do commend this book to people, and it's very exciting to be involved with this. So it's...
Well, you talked about reading the book. I made myself read it.
Yes.
Day after day, night after night, for a month. I plodded through their most boring book. Yes. But I came out the other end thinking to myself, you know, Darwin was a brilliant guy. He had a brilliant mind. And if he was alive today, he would get a job easily as a Disney Imagineer or perhaps as a screenwriter for Hollywood science fiction, because he had this amazing imagination. He said that the American brown or black bear, I think it was a brown bear, swims with its mouth open catching insects. If it did that for many, many, many years, it would end up the size of a whale. I mean, that's what his imagination was like. And so we have this great fairy tale, this fantasy that this man has brought forward, and 150 years later it's been grabbed and promoted as science, which is absolutely ridiculous. Richard Dawkins is parading around the U.S. at the moment telling people that we are related to bananas and turnips, and I find that very, very amazing. Not that he's saying it, but the people are believing him. It's just such a silly, unsubstantiated fairy tale for grown-ups.
Well, we must be related to bananas. We share 60% of our DNA with bananas.
We don't live by feelings. We live by faith.
Excellent. So, yes, I had to read the book. I had to force myself to read it too so that I could get my biography of Charles Darwin written that you were kind enough to give me a comment for. So it's something that's going to be happening this month. It's going to be happening soon. People are going to be able to get this book, put it into people's hands and share the gospel with them. And it's something that's been a cornerstone of your ministry. You mentioned your book. You can lead an atheist to water, but you can't make... You can lead an atheist to evidence, but you can't make him think.
It's a nightmare of title. So many commentators have messed it up when they're interviewing me.
Yeah, I was thinking of the other one. You can... What was the other one? You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it eat Marmite sandwiches. That was the... No, you can lead an atheist to evidence, but you can't make him think. That's the one. And there was another book that you had, Intelligent Design versus Evolution, which was a book that evolved, wasn't it?
That's right, from nothing. And there's another book that's just come out with Dawkins' picture on the cover, and it's called Nothing Created Everything. And that book has a special condemnation by Richard Dawkins on the front cover. It says, Ray Comfort is an ignorant fool. But I dedicated the book to Richard Dawkins in the hope that he, before he goes to meet his maker, differentiates between religion and the gospel.
Yes, well, he was actually in a meeting that I addressed one time, and so I do know that he's heard the gospel at least once. I made sure that he heard the gospel. Yeah, he's interesting. He called you ignorant. It's a bit stronger than what he called me. He called me a caveman. So he doesn't like Christians. And sometimes atheists get very angry at Christians. And you can see it. It's not a rational argument. There's an anger building up within them, isn't there, sometimes?
So a caveman, that's what Neanderthal. Was that what he was saying?
This man's views are the views of a caveman, he said.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yes.
That's because you don't believe we came from bananas. I get it.
Absolutely. But it's, I do want to commend your work and books to our listeners. Make sure that you could at least get hold of a copy of this 150th anniversary edition of The Origin of Species for yourselves and give it to a friend of yours. You can get the various materials and so on, but it's very important that people listen to the methodology of getting out and sharing the gospel. They can even download a couple of free MP3s, can't they, from your website, Ray?
Yeah, livingwaters.com. There is a teaching called Hell's Best Kept Secret, and and true and false conversion. They're the foundations of our ministry, and it's essential that people listen to them so that they don't produce false converts and fill the church with false converts, as we see has happened here in the U.S. and even, I guess, in the United Kingdom. So it's just a straight, common sense, biblical, foundational, but it's new to quite a few folks, which is sad.
Right, well, thank you so much for sparing us your time this morning, Ray. It's been good to talk to you, and God bless you, and we pray for the success of the project with the Origin of Species book. Thanks.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you.
Well, that's all for this edition of Answers UK Radio. If you want to find out more about Ray Comfort's ministry, then have a look at www.livingwaters.com. That's livingwaters.com. In the United Kingdom, if you want to buy some of Ray's materials, the tracts, and the books and so on, then I think you'll find it easier to go to livingwaterseu.com. livingwaterseu.com. And all those materials are distributed by them into the United Kingdom and throughout Europe. Any of our products, remember, you can get hold of from answersingenesis.org. At the top of the front page, remember to make sure that it says United Kingdom rather than United States, so that you can get into the British web store. So that's answersingenesis.org. Make sure it's set for United Kingdom, or you can call us on 0116 270 8400. Remember, as always, to keep your podcasting software up to date so that you can catch us for the next episode of Answers UK Radio. For now, goodbye, and don't forget,
this is a world where birds eat horses.